Let's now come before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we rejoice this morning once again as we gather together as your people to give you thanks. We thank you that you give us this day of rest, and this opportunity to gather together and praise your holy name. We're able to do so openly, that we are able to do so also together, Father. We thank you for it, that we may do so, hearing and responding to your call to come before you, to bask in your glory, to bask in your light, and to, and with that full confidence and assurance that you will be wherever we gather. May that be our joy and delight this morning. And Father, we thank you not just for today, but how you've watched over us this past week, have given us what we needed, providing us with our daily bread, providing us with family, friends, with the work that we're able to do, to provide for our families, the schoolwork that we're able to complete, that you've given us health and strength. Father, whatever it is that you, Father, have given it to us according to your great and loving fatherly care. And so we come this morning before you to give you thanks. May thanksgiving then also be our theme of worship. That even as you give us your law, even as you give us your word, yet you are always showing us the way to live, granting us insight into what is wise and what is good and what is true. We thank you for your instruction. And yes, even if this week has brought its challenges and its trials, or we are in the midst of them, Father, we still come before you as children. Also thankful for your discipline, knowing that you continue to be near to us, to make us holy, to make us more and more like your Son. And so also this morning, would you bless this time that we have then together in your presence to do exactly that, to make us holy, to make us more like your people through your word and spirit. Bless our worship. Grant us that heart of thanksgiving. May we truly, Father, do it with joy this morning as we turn to your word. We ask you all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ alone, in whom is our joy and whom is our hope, and in whose name we pray and worship this morning. Amen. This morning, we'll, as our reading, first turn to the Old Testament, to 1 Samuel 21. We'll read a couple of final verses of chapter 21, and then the first couple of verses of chapter 22. As you may know, we've been jumping around in the Gospel of Matthew for the last couple of weeks, and we're not jumping very far this week or this Sunday. We're continuing on from where we kind of left off reading and come to those wonderful words of Christ's call to find rest for our souls. But before we turn to the New Testament, let's first look to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 21. And so David is fleeing from Saul. And he turns to the Philistines, he turns to the city of Gath, first of all, there in 21, verse 10. That day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence, and while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gates and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He's insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. From there, David went to Mizpah in Moab and said to the king of Moab, "Would you let my father and mother come and stay with you until I learn what God will do for me?" So he left them with the king of Moab, and they stayed with him as long as David was in the stronghold. But the prophet Gad said to David, "Do not stay in the stronghold. Go into the land of Judah." So David left and went to the forest of Hereth. And so far the word of God in preparation for our text this morning. Since the theme of instruction continues also into our text, let's continue to also sing of that, this time now with Psalm 78, the first three stanzas. Let's now turn to our text, which we'll find in Matthew chapter 11. We'll read the verses 28 through 30. Likely well-known verses, beautiful gospel summary, and Jesus' call to come to him. It's Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, some of you may be familiar with a book that was recently published just a couple of years ago, maybe even last year, titled Gentle and Lowly. And it's been quite popular, so I think there's at least some of you where I've seen it somewhere in the living room or on the bookshelf perhaps. And it's a great book that seeks to, in some ways, just discover and look at the heart of Christ. And the title of this book then also comes from the verses that we read just now this morning. The author points out, with many other commentators, that what is in some ways unique about these verses is that the only time that Jesus himself talks really about his heart. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Or some translations may have it, gentle and lowly in heart. It's beautiful, isn't it? That's why we may say that is a rich gospel summary. Have you ever wondered, what is Jesus' heart like? What lives there? What motivates him to do what he does, to be who he is? The gospel says it's a heart that is gentle and humble. I'll admit it's maybe a bit tempting to just say, well, we're going to spend time looking at those words this morning. Just his heart, perhaps, as the book Gentle and Lowly does. Because it's so telling and comforting that that is what Jesus says about his heart. And yet, I think also as we draw in the surrounding verses, it just becomes more clear. Get a greater understanding of what Jesus really means by that and why it is a wonderful gospel summary. And how it ties in with that call to find rest for your souls. That call to lay aside burdens, to find refreshment as one who's weary and burdened. So let's do that this morning. Listen to his call and find rest for our souls. So our theme this morning will be, Jesus calls us to find rest for our souls, and we'll look at three things. Come, learn, and rest. So let's start with Jesus' call. Come, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Listen to that call. We may be familiar with it because we know the gospel and we love these verses, but isn't it a bit strange? What are the kind of people that you would like to join you? That you would invite over, that you would like to hang out with? Is it going to be the weary and burdened? Are the weary and burdened good company? Well, yes, if you're perhaps weary and burdened yourself, you may say, like, I have a real heart for others who are struggling. And so maybe you would invite them. Maybe you would call them to also to enjoy your company. But there's also a very good chance that at times you're just going to say, no, I can't do that. I have too much already that I need to deal with. It's going to be too much to also share in the burdens of others. Just wouldn't be able to handle it. And if you're not weary and burdened, you may say, well, yeah, that would be good to maybe call them and help them, but I'm enjoying the rest that I have right now. Bit of relief, perhaps. Do I want to take on the burdens of others? Do I want to be there and have perhaps my joy, my rest overshadowed by those who are needy, perhaps draining? And perhaps you are weary and burdened, and you say, yeah, that is actually an apt summary of how you perceive people and interact with them. Weary and burdened, you can think of people who may be struggling with their burdens, perhaps struggling with their past, struggling with sin, whatever it may be. Maybe it's weariness of like whatever has happened in life, it just drains and it has made you tired. You're wondering, what do you do? Do I have to just bear this by myself, by necessity? You may even think, like, maybe I should share with someone who is burdened. But you've done that before and you realize, like, yeah, but then they're like, yeah, well, I have my own problems, so I can't really help you. And so you take it on yourself again and maybe go on alone. Or maybe you thought, maybe I should go to someone who seems to have it together, someone who seems to be doing all right, has some rest and some peace. And then you stopped yourself from sharing your burdens because you don't want to overshadow the rest that they're finding. I don't really want to be a burden to those people. All right, so it's kind of what happens. We end up carrying our burdens. We don't find rest or encouragement, but maybe even feel like we are just alone and no one will want us around. No one wants to share in this struggle. Where could you go? Who would want to share? Who cares about you, the weary and burdened? Doesn't that start to get us to see some of the wonders of what Jesus is actually saying? In that strange invitation, who is he calling to himself? The weary and burdened. Who does Jesus care about? He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are the weary and burdened going to be a burden to him? No. He says, I invite your company. I call you to come to me. He invites us, calls us. His desire, his heart, is to gather the weary and burdened so that they might find rest. As if he knows, because he does, as if he knows the heart of those who are weary and burdened, how they just long for that invitation. Because they faced rejection. They know what it's like to not be heard, not being invited, to feel like a burden even to the people around them. He says, you're not a burden. Come, I call you. When no one else may want to share in that burden, he says, come, come to me and you will find rest. This is a strange invitation. Jesus gathers around him the weary and burdened. That's not unusual. This is why we read from 1 Samuel 22 about about David as he is fleeing from Saul. In this story, David is alone, and his trials as he's fleeing from Saul are just about to begin, but, I mean, he does hit rock bottom pretty quickly. Ends up fleeing to the Philistines, getting out of Judah, hopefully finding some relief there, being safe there, and then he realizes that maybe King Achish is able to get rid of a rival pretty easily as he stays there in Gath. Not even safe with the Philistines, not safe there in Gath, and he fears for his life. And so what does David do? Well, the only thing that he can think of is to act like a madman, clawing at the gates, letting saliva run down his beard. Here is the anointed, king of Israel. Here's the great champion whom they said that he had slain his thousands, ten thousands. Maybe close to the lowest moment in David's life. Of course, the chapter kind of ends there and then moves on to say, okay, where does he go from the Philistines? But it's striking that just then, as he's there and as he goes to Moab, people start to gather around him. Probably not the best of Israel society, probably not the best of Israel citizens, as it's those who are discontented, fleeing, debtors, and the like. But just think about it. Would those people have gone to David before he had fallen so low? Probably not. I mean, here's a great champion. Here's the great general, the son-in-law of the king. But as he had fallen, suddenly people start to gather around him. Yeah, the weary and burdened start to come to form a following around David. Think about that as you listen to Christ's call to come. Would Jesus really mean it? Would he really mean that, yes, even your burdens and your weariness, he says, come and invite you? I mean, he is the great son of David. In all honesty, like even in this text, he hasn't even, what we may say, gotten to the bottom of his humiliation and suffering yet. But we know where he's going to go from here. And every time he suffers more rejection, more physical suffering, more bearing the wrath of God, the more and more he shows that, yes, really his heart goes out to those who are weary and burdened to come to him. Because he knows it, the weariness. He knows the burdened. And like the Son of David, he gathers them, us around. So it starts with that invitation, or that really that call, actually, to come to him, the burdened and weary. That call that doesn't give us that assures us that we should not stand back or hold our distance on account of our self-conscious worry about burdening him. But perhaps you're worried about what he'll say. And what is his directive for you going to be? Isn't that a worry when we're wearied and when we're burdened? You may have a burden, you may feel weary, and you're just like, I know maybe some people who I could share it with, but I'm afraid of what they're going to say. They may just say, do this, do that, that's worked for me, and think that that'll make everything better. Sometimes maybe even very well-meaning, speaking of experience, even done gently perhaps, but you just fear that those words, that directive is just going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back because you're already burdened enough. And you realize that even if I go and I ask for advice, it's just not going to bring relief. It's going to feel like another burdened pile on top of everything else. And Christ also knows this. He himself will criticize even the Pharisees for loading the people with heavy burdens, telling them that you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, and not doing a single thing to lift their load, give them relief. No mercy, no grace for all of those who carried burdens. In that sense, Jesus' words stand out again. Because all the weary and burdened to come to him, but then tells them to take up a yoke and learn from him. Maybe we still wonder, okay, so does that mean that Jesus then is going to offer additional burden on top of everything that we're already dealing with? Will he call you to him to then send you away saying, just add this on top of everything? Add my yoke as well as another burden. Well, it is interesting that Jesus' word is using that language of yoke, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But it's not also too surprising that he uses that language. It's his language also of somewhat of wisdom and of the law and saying, you know, if you take that upon you, learn how to live. But why does Jesus want us to learn from him? And why does Jesus want us to take on his yoke? Let's deal with that first. Why does Jesus want us to learn from him? Well, he says it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. The heart, that's that center of our lives. We don't usually say like we have our hearts on our sleeves, but and in the case most of the time in the gospel, we don't even hear too much really about Christ's heart. But obviously that's not because he's afraid to share it. No, he says, here it is. I am gentle and humble in heart. He's gentle in heart. Think about that. What do we in our weariness and in our burdens desire most in someone who we may go to? So in all honesty, there may be people who are more than willing to help you, who may even have amazing advice, may even have all the resources to help you, and even invite you to do so, and yet you wouldn't go to them. Because you've seen their heart and you know it's not gentle. Again, best intentions perhaps. But they just don't understand the need for gentleness. What if we uncover our weariness, what if we uncover our weakness and our burdens? We need someone who won't break us, but deal gently with us, encourage us, build us up, whose presence puts us at ease, not into fight or flight mode. Jesus says, I know. I call you to come. Why? Because I am gentle in heart. It's exactly what I'm like. His call for those who are weary and burdened to come originates from a heart that is gentle and wants to deal gently with anyone who needs his help. Just think about that, how that is shown again and again in the gospel. A couple weeks ago, we even dealt with that. As Jesus heals, as he saves, as he looks at people, he deals with them gently, knowing them through and through, but never using that to break them or put them under his thumb, but to encourage them, to heal them, to forgive them, even dying with them. All of that from his gentle heart. His heart is gentle and it's humble. And some translations would have the word lowly instead. And that reflects perhaps also that the word used here is often used that not just as humility, as being a humble person, but being humbled in a humble circumstance. Right? Just think of David again. He was humbled. Being anointed, being the son-in-law of the king, being that great general to fleeing from one place to another. And his lowly, his humble position was what made him accessible, approachable, humble. Jesus says, my heart has that lowly, that humbled character. It's reflected in the very fact that as Jesus says these words, I mean, he's not arrayed in glorious, wonderful, heavenly glory as the one who appears like an angel or something greater, but he says it had come taking on human nature. And when it came to Jesus taking on a place here on earth, he didn't seek that one which would be rich or powerful or important. He just came to serve, and he came taking the form of a servant, as Philippians 2 would say. It's not because you didn't have a choice. It's not because that just so happened to be. He says, that's because of my heart. That was my desire. Just think about that. Because if there ever was anyone who could say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and could do so perhaps with almost like a tinge of arrogance almost, because he is wise, because he is powerful, because he's able to save, able to solve, it would have been Jesus. Yeah, come to me, you who are weary and burdened. I know just how to help you. And it probably is not foreign to many of you, because you may have even had interactions with people just like it. Maybe it is your doctor. Yes, they're able to help you. Yes, they know more than you. That is why you're there. But then there's sometimes doctors who just seem to want to rub that in your face every time and make you feel worse. As you ask your questions, as you ask how that may help you, as you receive good advice. You just wonder, you don't have to point that out every time. I'm here to learn and I trust you. And it may be even enough for some to say, like, I'm just going to look for a different doctor. Jesus says, that's not me. I mean, he's so much better. In power and glory and holiness. He doesn't have to deal with the same problems that we do, the same burdens and weariness because of his own mistakes or his own faults or his own weaknesses and unbelief. And yet he says, I'm not going to lord that over you because that's not my heart. He doesn't desire to make himself look great by making you look small. Doesn't desire to make you feel inept, incapable, even if you're weary and burdened and need him so much. Rather, it is his very heart to stoop down, take on that humble nature, to take on the role of a servant and call you to him. Says, I'm gentle and humble at heart. Whatever else we may learn from Jesus as we sit at his feet and as we listen to his word, for sure we're going to see just exactly what his heart is. One of gentleness and humility. In a world where we may be hesitant to share our burdens, to admit that we're weary, someone may not be gentle, or they may just always be pointing out how much better they are than us. Christ's call is beautiful, and how he is at heart. At his very core, he's none of those things. He invites us to sit at his feet with all gentleness and humility, all underlined in his very nature, his humanity. Now, yes, we'll even suffer more so than David ever would. To truly underline all of that, to come to him, we're weary and burdened. Now, lastly, this is a call to find rest. Striking thing, again, and what Jesus says is that it's somewhat paradoxical. I mean, he says, find rest by taking up a yoke. And a yoke is more commonly used as something of a sign, usually even in the Old Testament, of burdens and of oppression. And so there's even prophets who at times false prophets who would take a yoke and say, oh, I'm going to smash this yoke. And just as this yoke is smashed, so the dominion of this king is broken and you'll be free. In this case, we could probably picture just a yoke, not so much even as the one that you put on animals, though you could picture that as well, like over two oxen, they pull the plow. But I mean, people would also use yokes. You could have a bar over your shoulders and carry milk cans or something like it, pails over a long distance. So what does this image have to do with finding rest? Well, Jesus teaches us that we'll learn from him that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Which again may not be what we're expecting. Jesus often calls his disciples to count the cost before they follow him. But it wasn't going to be easy to be his disciple. And says, my disciples, follow me and take up your cross and follow me. None of that is easy or light on its own. But this is where it is so important to also learn from Jesus and to know him. And realize also in the context, Jesus is calling all those who are already burdened and weary. Life, doesn't matter how you get through it, isn't going to be without its burdens either. And even if we did our absolute best to try to avoid every burden in whatever form we may stay, we'd probably just end up so weary because we're always running away, always looking for something next, trying to escape that burden, our burdens. And Jesus says, come to me, and that burden is exchanged for something else. It's exchanged for a yoke, one that is easy and light, because it's the yoke of one who is gentle and humble. Not every burden, not every yoke is bad. This time of year, how many people do throw extra weight in the back of their trucks so that they may have some traction? Is the burden going to weigh you down, or is it going to help you get ahead? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, because it's not a yoke that'll make you work harder, be more burdened, never find rest. It's a yoke that is formed to give us rest. The idea that in following Jesus himself, that in bearing, taking up his yoke and learning from him, our life is to become more burdensome, but finds strength, finds hope, finds rest. These are wonderful words of Christ. A real comfort to anyone who is weary and burdened. He means it. Come, learn, rest. Take these words to heart. Meditate them on them. Be comforted and encouraged. And consider just kind of what rest Christ gives us. Are we going to be a burden to him? No. He says, come to me. You're burdened. You're wearied. Come. Don't go anywhere else. Come to me. Is he going to send you on your way with just more to add and more of a burden, more weighed down? No, he says, learn from me. Take my yoke. It's easy and light. It'll give you rest. Will he deal with you harshly? No, he says, my heart is gentle. Encourage you, build you up, take care of you. Will he use it to lord it over us? He says, no, I am humble in heart. And what does his rest look like? Where does it come from? If we take these words to heart, don't we find that already? It comes exactly in what we see about Christ and who he is and what his heart is like. It is Christ who cares and Christ who has a wonderful heart for those who are weary and burdened. Doesn't send you on your way to say, figure it out, then come to me, but say, no, come to me. But he's held, that he is even in that lowly position, just like David was, but him on his own accord to make it clear that he wants all those to gather around him who need him. To be comforted and encouraged. And also search your own hearts. I mean, Jesus calls him to himself, but we also know that how wonderful that call may be, we also often may struggle with it and not always listen to it as we ought to. Because sometimes the burdens that we bear may just become so familiar even comfortable that we don't want to part with them. Or we may say that we are just so weary and we desire rest, but the one thing that we can't find time for is to then just sit and learn and take up Christ's yoke. We claim to be too tired for that, finding solutions here, hope there. Too busy to sit and learn from Him. Too busy to get to know His heart that is gentle and humble, to seek Him and be filled with His rest and peace. But even then, you know, that is exactly why Jesus came. I mean, not just to offer saying, here's good advice, here's a yoke, do this, have a great life. But to be Himself that wisdom, to be Himself our rest. The point is not just to take His advice and to do these steps, but to trust Him, to come to Him, to stick to Him. That even in our weakness, to shed our burdens and to truly find rest and to have even in our weariness that ability to look for Him, to trust that He will save us, that He will grant us eternal rest. Yes, here is this call and this wonderful gospel message, relevant for today, relevant for the burdens and the weariness that we feel, and yet so realizing that in this life we'll be weary and we may be burdened, but there is that rest to come as we follow Christ, bear His yoke. And so see Christ's heart, listen to His call. Come, learn, and rest. For Jesus is gentle and humble in heart. Amen. Speaking also of that rest and finding it in our Lord and our God, let's then sing now standing Psalm 63, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.